Turn in our favorite chapter. Which one would that be? Zechariah 4. These are the golden mysteries of the kingdom. Praise God. I know that you think you've heard everything we've taught on this, but I got a download even since this morning. And so I wanted just to have a little fun today, but also share a little bit kind of prophetically of what this particular word means. And I'll say it here. Then verse 6, he said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, he shows him a golden candlestick. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, or by the seven spirits of God, really, because he goes on and talks about it. He says, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, which is the king of glory, the Lord himself, thou shalt become a plain or a leveled ground. So whatever mountain is facing us in this generation, this is a final word generation, that mountain is going to become shaken and leveled to the ground. And he, the King of glory, Zerubbabel, Christ, will bring forth the headstone, final stone, crowning stone, last stone, capstone. He's going to bring out the last stone of the temple. Thereof with shoutings, and then say, grace, grace. Now, the word I want to speak to you about today is the grace, grace word. The grace, grace is a lot in there, and it has multiple meanings and multiple facets. And I'm just going to share a few of them with you of what all this grace, grace means, because there's a lot here. And this grace, grace is not a single particular grace. It's multiple graces, manifold graces, but they come in two. Say, grace, grace. One of them says, shouting, grace, grace, and crying, grace, grace. Amen? So there's a grace, grace that belongs to our generation. And the revelations of that grace, grace is going to catapult us across, over, into, with, into full manifestation. Amen? So I'm going to start with, I have a 10 of them. So the first grace, he's actually going to talk about this in verse 9. He says, the hands of Zerubbabel, that's what we are, we're hands, has laid the foundation of this house. He's not talking about the early church there. He's talking about the foundation of this latter day house. It is a house of kings. It is the house of David restored. It is the house that's going to be opened in this last day, which we've taught a lot about. It's the house by him that has the key to the house in Revelation 3. He has the key to the house. He's going to open that house again. But Christ has changed a few things, as we know. He's perfected a few things, but he's bringing that house back down. So there's a foundation that had to be laid for this house that the early church did not have this foundation. They had the foundation of Christ, but he's opening the kingly house. Amen? And that kingly house is the foundation of it is the word of the Lord. There was a foundation of his word. He said he'll lay the foundation of the house. His hands would finish the house, and then thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised or despised not the day of the small beginning? I would say we qualify for that. Amen. He says, for they shall rejoice. This is you and me. You're in scripture right here. We're going to rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven that go to and fro the whole earth. He's actually talking about the crowning stone, the plumb line, the final crown, the crowning of the church, the dispensation of the crown. He's bringing it out. He proceeded it with a word. So you have a grace for the foundation and a grace for the crown. You have a grace that laid the foundation, and that has, with us, has been, I think, my prophetic pastoral teaching, apostolic opinion, is that that foundation has been laid. And I believe it's culminated with the revelation of the face of God. Panim, Penuel, that whole revelation. If you haven't got the revelation of the face of God, it's the whole operation that's coming out. that crowning message, face, crown, top, that's coming out now is the operation by which I believe we're going to operate in fullness in this last day. And the face of God opens all that up because it allows us to go beyond where we are. You have foundation, grace. Crown, grace. Or the crowning stone, grace. So that is one. The other one is the grace for the foundation of the church itself, which is the blood of Jesus, which is the sacrificial lamb, which is the cross, which is what they preach in the early church, what we preach now. The foundation will never leave the church. It will never be done away with. God builds on that foundation, but he said, be careful how you build. Don't build with wood, hay, or stubble, but you can build on that foundation. That's why Paul said, let us leave the foundation. He said, we're not doing away with this. Let us build. We're not going to stay in the foundation all our life. We got to come up out of the foundation, raised together with him. We have to understand the realities of who we are as a mature priesthood, as a mature sons, mature heirs. Amen. So we have the foundation, but then we have the latter day house. So he calls it the early rain and the latter rain. Joel's army, the latter rain of Zechariah 10, in the time of the latter rain. He talks about the war horse. He talks about the house of Judah, house of Joseph coming together. He talks about the sons of God walking up and down in his name in the last verse of Zechariah 10, that he gives us capacity to walk up and down, or we have access into both realms. We're learning more about that access. We're operating more. So there was a grace on the early church to lay that foundation. There's going to be a grace on the final church to finish. Grace to lay, they had the grace to do it. And they all gave their life except John, which they tried to kill him and boil him at all, but he wouldn't die. But they had that foundation. They laid it with their lives. They all died. Every one of those apostles died for the foundation. In fact, the whole early church was a martyrdom church under Nero, but survived all of that. But now we're in the crowning age of the church. See, there's a different grace. You're not doing away with that. You're building with it. It is the foundation that we stand upon. It'll never be taken away. If you take away from it, then you're in trouble. Amen. We build from it. Amen. So we have early rain, latter rain. Interesting thing he says in Zechariah 10, he says it's the early and the latter rain together. So he didn't do it away. He had the early and the latter rain together. Together. You see the two graces? Here's another one. Grace, graces. Every one of these belong to this operation of the crown. The two graces. If you've heard us talk about the king, priest, government, the priestly realm. You're going to have to be a priest to climb that mountain. The priest in you is the one that's going to abide, dwell. The priest in you is the one that's going to ascend. The priest in you is going to meet your high priest. The priest in you are going to come up into the Father. That's the priestly realm of God. The other one, the one that comes down, that's the kingly realm. That's the dominion realm. That's where the angels of God come down with you. Boy, I tell you what, it's so amazing. When you go up, faith will make the exchange. It don't matter if you're tired, you're weary. Once your faith gets to the point where you can overcome weariness, tiredness, depression, or heaviness, or circumstance, or you. Sometimes you got to overcome a you. That's what Jacob was doing. Jacob was dealing with his own self. And Peniel, sometimes you meet you. Well, he changes you. He accepts you. How would you ever get to the Father if he didn't accept you the way you are? How would you ever get there? With all of the issues that surround us and the things that, like, especially when we were orphans or dysfunctional, how can we take a dysfunctional orphan and bring him up into the Father in a perfect state? He accepts you. That's why he said, you're accepted in the beloved. Come up. My Father will love you the way you are. I want to bring you up into the realm of the Father. There's a lot of different things that happen, but all that's administrated from your priesthood. That's the priest in you that does that. That's the prayer person in you that does that. When you come down, you're a different person. Because you get up in there, right? If you get up in the way we teach you how to get up there, you get some dominion on you. You get some serious authority on you, because that's where he restored the dominion at the top. Raised together, made to sit together. He was raised in glory and honor and made him have dominion over the works of his hands. You were raised in glory and honor and made to have dominion over the works of his hands. If you want dominion, you got to get up there. It's hard to start down here in dominion. It's hard to get into it. You can do it. It's just very hard to get into a realm of dominion in this realm. You got to get out of the realm. That's why God, through the priest, you can escape. You get up, then you get clothed. Then you get clothed, and then you get love first. You get love, and then you're getting ready to be an heir now. So it's the priest that comes, but it's the king coming down, or the heir, the prince, however you want to see it. It's the person of authority coming down now. Because when you come down, you're not doubting who you are. You know who you are. You know who's with you. You're representing the kingdom of God. And the angels are with you, and the Father's with you, and the Lord's with you, and the seven spirits of God are with you, and the glory realm is with you. These things have to be experienced. There's only so much you're going to understand by being taught. You have to do this. But if you do this, things are going to happen. So there's a grace for the priest. Everyone say grace. You're not going up in that mountain outside of grace. I can tell you, what's the first step? Throne of grace. You're not going to go up into the Father, because he's the only one that gets you up there is the Lord. And the Lord's going to give you the grace to get in a place that you couldn't even the high priest couldn't even go in there but once a year. Now the Lord's made a way as the king, but as your high priest, for you to go stand up in the Holy of Holies by grace, even when you don't feel holy, because you're not standing there. You're going to make the exchange. You're going to get in him. Well, Paul said, found in him, not having my own righteousness. See, you're going to shift from who you are to who he is. See, I move into him. I make a shift into him. In him we live. You shall gnosko know that you're in me and I'm in my Father. You got to get up in there. We'll teach you how to do that. See, as you get in him, you can move freely. You're not going to run up to the Father. Not every single day. He might give you a couple of advances to come on in, but you're going to have to learn how to move in there by faith. Sometimes he'll put a grace on you and you're just running up in there. Somebody come to me, I don't have to do anything. I just run straight to the Father. I said, you're not going to do that every day for the next year. I can tell you right now, not outside of faith. You're going to have to learn some faith, because you're in a grace mode right now, but that grace needs to turn to faith. Amen. But it's still all grace. Because you can't get there without it. So it's a grace. Grace is a priest. Everyone say, I have grace as a priest. You also have grace as a king. Which one of us have earned the dominion he gives us? See, well, you don't know it. You can't earn the dominion. He gives it to us. He restored the dominion in the rightful places, being raised together, made to sit together, and have dominion over the works of his hands. He restored that to us. We didn't earn that. We didn't deserve it. It's given freely if you know how to access it. And when you do, you come down in a state of dominion. You're a different person. You're a lion. It's like the lamb goes up. That's the grace. The lion comes down. That's a different grace. When I start dealing in this realm, I am not a lamb. I'm a lion. I come out from that realm as a lion. I go up with the lamb. See, the first grace is the lamb, Christ, the sacrificial lamb. That's the priest. The second grace is the king of glory, the lion. You're going to come in and you'll have the roar of a lion in you. You have the roar. You have the strength. You have the dominion. You'll come down sometime and like, come on, get me some. Get you some. You're ready to take on, because you're clothed with some to take on your circumstance now. You're in his name, but you're in a different realm of God now. You're in the kingly realm. See, those are graces. We have access by faith into this grace where we stand. We've got to access it. We have to see it, access it, and roll with it. So grace of a priest, grace of a king. It's all glorious. Going up's glorious, coming down's glorious. And going out into him is far glorious. Oh, my friends, you're not just walking out. You're walking down to a living realm, where your whole soul, body, spirit can get translated into, where you leave unbelief and you move in the fullness of faith, life, and glory, and God meets you there. Just like, you know, he'll meet you in the prayer closet, meet you in the secret place. He'll meet you in your promise. Say, grace? Great. How about this? because I'm talking about it, it's kind of a different way of saying the same thing. You have the in Christ grace and the Christ in you grace. Which one's that? That's Christ in you. What's the in Christ grace? What's that mean? I'm going into Him. You shall know that you're in me, and then we will be in the Father. I want to bring you to where I am. I want to bring you out from where you are into me, where I am, and then we'll move into the Father together. That's all. That's the in Christ image. See, all that's in Christ, Christ in the Father. But He said, my glory shall be perfected in you. You in me, I'm in the Father, but I will be in you, and my Father will be in me. Two different operations. One operation is you're with Him where He is, moving out of this realm. The other operation, He's with you, and the Father's with you in this realm to do in the works of the kingdom, to demonstrate. That's the part we're learning now, this final realm. But once we learn that, see, you have in Christ grace, that's a grace, but you have Christ in you, that's another grace. He says, my glory I have given. Father, I pray that they may be perfect in oneness. He's not talking about you and me. He's talking about the oneness He's given with us and Him. One, He says, perfected, that they may learn to be in me where I am, and then we'll be with them where they are, and we'll make all that perfect, harmonious, and balanced to where there'll be heaven on earth. They'll be able to operate in both realms because I've given grace. I have given you grace to be with me where I am. I've given you grace for me to be with you where you are. See, grace, grace. All this still talking about this final age priesthood that's going to achieve it all. Fullness of glory. Say fullness of glory. I'm in Him where He is. That's John 17. He's in us where we are. That's why He said, if you keep my words, Him my Father will love. We'll bring you to where we are. My Father will love you the way you need to be loved. He'll love the orphan out of you. He'll love the fear out of you. He'll love the dysfunction out of you. And then I and my Father will come make our abode with you where you are. See, that's Christ in you. Hope of glory. Grace, grace. How about this one? Turn to Psalms 24 on this. He said, verse 6, this is the generation that seeks the Lord. Obtain, it seeks the face of God. Actually, it means this is a generation that will obtain the face of God, the God of Jacob. What happened to Jacob and Peniel will happen to a whole generation. He's going to change him from priest to king, or He's going to open up the other grace to him. Now, notice what He says here, just for refreshing. He says, verse 3, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who? What's the hill of the Lord? That's the hill of the Lord. That's a map. You don't have to go exactly that way, but it's a pretty good way to go. Because it deals with so many areas that get in the way. If you deal with the areas that get in the way, you go right on up. Amen? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He has not lifted his soul to idolatry or sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now notice, again, I want you to see this. So He said, who's going to ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands. And when you get there, you're going to have clean hands and a pure heart to receive clean hands and a pure heart. He said, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. You have to have clean hands and a pure heart to receive the righteousness. I'm like, wait a minute. I have to have clean hands for clean hands. He says, yes, but all that's grace, grace. I give you grace for the clean hands. I give you grace for the righteousness. I give you the grace of salvation. And now I give you grace to be in me. But once you're in me, you qualify. Look, Paul kept the law perfectly. Perfectly as a Pharisee. Do you know what that takes to do that? Do you know the discipline it takes to do that? He said, I count it but dung to be found in Him, not having mine own anymore. Everything I could achieve by being perfect, I let go. To be found in Him by faith, the righteousness of God by faith. I enter into a realm with Him that I could never achieve in a whole life of works. And in that realm with Him, I have the free gift. It's a grace. That's the clean hands and a pure heart. You're never going to have clean enough hands and a pure enough heart, no matter how squeaky clean you are, to qualify for God to answer this prayer. You're still going to have to get into Christ. You got to get into His position. How many know what I'm talking about now? So as you're in the clean hand and the pure heart, now you qualify to petition God for the next one, the blessing. This is what Jacob received at Penuel. This is the two things he received at Penuel. There's two twos here, by the way. I'll give you the first one so I don't confuse you. The first one's the clean hands and the pure heart. That's a great. What's the second one? That you may receive the blessing and the righteousness from the God of yourself. What's that? That's what took Jacob out of Jacob and put Israel in him. That was a transformational grace, a transformational righteousness that took the deceiver and the swindler out and put Israel in so God could multiply him in all nations. He goes, I cannot multiply Jacob the way you are, but I can multiply Israel. And because we've wrestled, you have won and you received the blessing and now you receive the righteousness. That's not salvational righteousness. That's not in him righteousness. That's Christ in you righteousness. That's Father's transformational glory coming down, transforming us here, the stuff that'll be seen, witnessed by man. They shall know by the love. They'll know it because His glory will be there. The transformational grace and righteousness will be on us as a free gift. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. That's phase two. Phase one, I'm in Him. So we have the grace to be in with clean hands, pure heart. We have the grace of transformational righteousness where we are. That's where God comes down and does major. See, He does works in you there. I mean, I was loved of the Father for a whole year. I know. But there's also another glory that He'll come down here with. A transformational holiness and righteousness that takes place here. A work of grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's going to accompany the glory. Grace, grace. All of these are all foundation in grace. Can't be earned, can't be deserved, can be accessed by what you understand, what you see, and faith. Say faith. It's all coming by faith. There's another one here. There's another grace, grace here. The grace, grace of Penuel. The one that we're looking for right now. I've been in there since, what, October, November? Man, when Lord gets me on something, I'm not letting go. We stand. We're not going to let go of that word till He answers it. Just like Jacob says, I will not let go to you, bless me. We will not let go to you, bless me. And he talks about it. The generation of Jacob will receive the blessing and the transformational righteousness. The two operations. What's the blessing? To our generation, what is the blessing? Because listen, Jacob was blessed before he was blessed. Oh, that's a huge thing. What's the first one? Name change. Jacob to Israel. That's a mass function. For us, preach the king. We are the reigning kings and priests of the earth. We will reign out of a kingly glory. There's a name change. There's a transformation of identity. There's a grace for where we've been and a grace. You don't think God had grace on Jacob when he was deceiving his brother? His mom was helping him, lying to their dad, acting like Esau, stealing the birthright twice. God was still blessing him. God blessed him because of Abraham, his covenant. God blesses us not because we're so good. He does it because of grace. But when it comes time, now God said, okay, I've been with you, Jacob. I've multiplied you. But now we're getting really ready for the blessing. This transformation to Israel. And then this is where I'm going to multiply you beyond your years. After your death, I'm going to make a nation and I'm going to land out of you. See, it's that transformation we're looking for. He's got to take us from even sons to reigning heirs. There's a transformation in that. There's transformational glory with it. But one of the big blessings, now write this down, the blessing that we're really looking for, the blessing is the crown in the form of the seven spirits of God coming out from heaven. The Lord, now listen, the seven spirits of God have been with us. Here's another grace. Are you ready?
The seven spirits of God is the one that laid the foundation of this house. Nobody's that smart, especially me. And any of the rest of us that have spoken, we're not that smart. There's no way you can move in the realm of mysteries on your own. They're mysteries for a reason. Look, if a couple of million people that sought God harder and heavier than you ever will couldn't find the mysteries, I would call that a grace when they start getting revealed. Wouldn't you? Nobody can say, oh, I did that. No way. This stuff is too deep. It's mysteries. It's grace. Grace came out in the form of a lampstand. Revelation 5. I'll just tell it to you. What did he see in Revelation 4? He saw a door and seven lamps burning. And he said, this is the seven spirits of God. What did he see in the next chapter? That was resting on the Christ. Seven eyes, seven horns. He said, this is the seven spirits of God. They're both. He's telling you the different functions. One was a lampstand. The other one was a crown. See the two graces? One of the seven spirits of God was a lamb. Who do you think's been with us all these years in our journey? Sometime in the early days, the revelations were so heavy that God brought the breaker anointing. Tina had to come up here, I said, because the atmosphere just wasn't here to minister it. We just weren't ready for it. And so she'd come in and break that thing up, and then I could preach into that. And it was just what we did year after year. And everybody else, too. But there was a grace to release those mysteries because they were part of the foundation. But all those mysteries were coming out of the seven spirits of God in the form of a lamp. Why? It was a lamp to your feet. The lamp is what built that map. The lamp, the seven spirits of God built that entire diagram. He taught us these realms. He taught us the realms of heaven. How are you going to keep? He taught that stuff. He taught us all these realms and how to move in these realms and operate in them. And then a couple years ago, he started teaching us about the other realm, the realm of dominion. Now, he's changing now. Even though he's still the lamp, he's about to change in his function. He's coming out as the crown. This is the one Zechariah said. He goes, to rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. He's talking about the seven eyes of the Lord. It's the seven spirits of God now are coming down into the earth in the form of the crown. Seven eyes of dominion, seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience, seven horns of dominion. Perfected dominion, perfected wisdom. That's all you need to know. That's the seven. That's the crown. See? So you had grace for the lampstand, seven spirits of God, and then grace for the crown. The two operations. Grace, grace. You can't do without the two. They're always going to be. How about this one? Zechariah 4. The river of God breaks forth. It flows past the ankles, past the knees, past the loins. He said, whithersoever this final river flows, everything that's dead will live again. There's going to be a river coming out of God and God's people in this last days that's going to quench death, violence, the sword, infirmity, everything. Whithersoever the river goes, everything that's dead will live. It's going to bring life. It's going to bring glory because it's coming out of heaven. It's bringing heaven down. That's the priesthood. But if you read in Zechariah, he's going to split the river. In Zechariah 14, he splits them in half. One goes to the Dead Sea of humanity for the purpose of ministry, but the other one goes over to the Great Sea. See, the two rivers. The other one goes and flows over to the Mediterranean Sea. If you want to get deep, that's where the King of Tyre is. That's where the system is. That's where the Babylonian harlot is. That's where commerce is. That's what God is going to overcome in the last days because he's going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands, and everything's coming down. He's about to invade the economies of this world. That river is going to invade it in the same way the river is going to invade sickness, infirmity, death, and disease. It's going to flow to the Dead Sea. The other one's about to flow to the Sea of Commerce. And the Bible says, and the wealth of the seas will be converted to thee. Great wealth transference. I will shake the heavens and the earth, sea and dry land, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. The same house he's talking about in Zechariah 4. He was prophesying in Haggai chapter 2. One river going to the Dead Sea, grace. The other one going to the Great Sea, grace. Grace, grace. Here's one. Two olive trees. Two, grace, grace. Kind of a new revelation on grace, grace, isn't it? How about the crown? How about Revelation chapter 5? When the Lamb and upon him rested the seven horns and the seven eyes. Horns in the book of Revelation mean kings or kingdoms. So the seven horns was a perfected kingdom and a perfected crown resting upon Christ. And then the seven eyes were the perfected omnipresent omniscience of God. And it says this crown of seven horns and seven eyes will be sent forth into all the earth. These are the seven spirits of God, but there were two. See, seven eyes, seven horns. Grace, grace. They had two different functions. One was wisdom, one was dominion. You're going to need them both. They're going to be given to us in the crowning of the church. But they're there. They're going to be freely given to us. We're going to function in a light and a glory that's not of this world. The same one the Lord did. He goes, are there not 12 hours a day? I see everything that's going on. I got eyes in the back of my head. I can see behind. Look, Zechariah 10 said, this is the generation that walk up and down in my name. You're going to be able to walk up into the glory realm and come back down. But also, what did Zechariah say? He goes, these are the seven spirits of God. They walk to and fro the earth. The eyes of the Lord everywhere. To give you geographical access. Say horizontal access. How do you think Philip was preaching? Translated. What do you think was happening there? Access. Horizontal access. This is the realm of the spirit. That's the operation, but also can go beyond time. That's what we're learning in the faith of God. But see the two graces. All right, I'm going to close with one more. I'm going to give you one more double grace. Amen. This one. The two graces that are upon the church for ministry and administration of kingdom government is the Corinthian grace and what we call the anointing without measure, what the Lord operated in. Both of these graces were actually for any generation, but they will all come to fullness in this hour, without a doubt. The first one is the Corinthian grace. What is the Corinthian grace? It's the anointing in measure. For all the gifts of the Spirit were given, but they were given in measure, severally controlled by the Holy Spirit, given to the most carnal church of all, the Corinthian church. Not the Ephesians church, mature church, given to the carnal Corinthians. The carnal Corinthians! Division in chapter 1. Division again in chapter 3. Fornication in chapter 5. Suing each other law in chapter 6. Division again in chapter 11. Idolatry in chapter 9. But then he goes, in all of that, you glorious Corinthian bunch, here's the gift. Because what church would God use if he was waiting on us to be perfect? Really? I mean, I'm an example. He's used me for 20-something years now. I don't know. I could count after. You kind of quit counting after a while. So, you have this model, though, in which God will use you the way you are. You have issues, but he'll still use you. It's amazing. People baffle that. Like, how can God use that? Somebody did it. I mean, I'm an example of that. I had a lot of issues. Say, grace, grace. Oh, you want another one? Crying, grace, grace. You had the shouting. You got the crying. That's the double portion of mercy given. So you got this grace for the Corinthian model. He uses you as you are, but then you have this other one, the final one, the Lord's mantle, the one that's the anointing without measure, the one, see, one of them, I remember I checked out for a whole year, and God continually just anointed me, but the other realm has everything to do with your position in God, where you are, the relationship, the union, the glory, your faith, the operation of your faith, the realms you move in, the realms you attach to, the realms you're receiving from. See, that's the glory realm of God. That's the one the Lord opened to us. That's the one he wants to close his church out with, by the way. He's going to close his church out with a glory realm of God. The one we find when he brings us up to the Father. He says, my glory I give to you. I'm going to let you operate like I operated. I'm going to teach you how to operate like I operated with the Father. I'm going to teach you how to see the way I would see. I'm going to teach you how to do the works of the Father because my Father will work and then you'll work. And we both work. That's the realm of the Lord. It's different than the gift realm. You see that? So you had the grace on the gift realm. It's still the gift realm, but now it's come to full age. It has everything to do with your maturity, your transformation, your change, your commitment, your loyalty, your crucified discipline lifestyle. The other one, not so much. There's so much grace on the Corinthian model. This other one, it's a grace, which it has a lot to do with where you are in accessing the full measure of God. Now you'll see how much grace he's given us. Because everything he's done and about to do was all given a double portion of grace for our generation. That's why the apostles and the early church would trade hands with you for a second to live in the generation we live in. They would trade the place because we're in the crowning generation that gets an exceptional double portion of kingly glory and grace to function and do the exploits of God before the return of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.